This MP3 trail starts from Bainbridge Village Centre. It should take you about 3.5 hours to do and is about 4 miles long. Use the route marked on the map you have downloaded to help you navigate from one stopping point to the next. Stopping point 1, Village Centre. As its name suggests, Bainbridge is situated on a bridging point of the River Bain, supposedly the shortest river in England. It flows from Semmerwater, a glacial lake above the village in Raydale, to the River Ure in Wensleydale, a total journey of only 2.5 miles. 2,000 years ago, Roman soldiers would have crossed the river here to reach their fort on Brough Hill, just to the east of the village. The name of the Roman fort was Virucidum. It housed around 500 auxiliary soldiers from all over the Roman Empire. Archaeological investigation has shown that the fort was destroyed and rebuilt on more than one occasion. This may mean that the native Brigantes made life quite difficult for their Roman occupiers. Most of Upper Wensleydale in medieval times was a hunting forest for the Lords of Middleham. Their sporting ground stretched from the Bain to Malastang. The name forest is a bit misleading because the area would not have been completely covered in woodland. There would have also been forest groves and open pasture for the deer and other creatures to feed in, alongside several cattle farms, or vaccaries as they were called. Bainbridge originated as a forester's settlement, with each of the 12 foresters having a house and 9 acres of land. The foresters looked after the hunting grounds and protected the wild animals from poaching. Now walk to the next stopping point in the village, outside the Rose and Crown Hotel. Stopping point 2, the Rose and Crown Hotel. Bainbridge's only pub is associated with an ancient custom that dates back to the Middle Ages, when a forest horn used to be blown every evening at 9 o'clock between the 28th of September and Shrove Tuesday. This guided any travellers who had been caught in the dark in the forest back towards the village. The horn now hangs in the hall of the Rose and Crown Hotel and is still blown on special occasions. In spite of its 1445 date stone, the building housing the horn is a mixture of the 18th, 19th and 20th centuries. Now walk to the next stopping point in the village, the Quaker Meeting House. Stopping point 3, Quaker Meeting House. An early 19th century Friends Meeting House built from stone rubble and with a stone slate roof. It is single story with a gallery at the left end. Inside there is an original wooden panelling to the meeting room and elders gallery. The chapel was built in 1836, replacing an earlier meeting house converted from a cottage in 1668. The new meeting house was sited next to a burial ground that had been bought by the Quakers in 1672. This was extended when the new meeting house was built. It contains the graves of several important Quakers from the area, including Richard Robinson, who died in 1692 and who was the first Quaker in Wensleydale, and Alexander Fothergill, who died in 1788, who surveyed the Richmond to Lancaster Turnpike Road. Now leave the village and walk to the next stopping point, Yorbridge House, taking care as you walk along the road. Stopping point 4, Yorbridge House. Until 2006, these buildings housed the northern office of the Yorkshire Dales National Park Authority. However, they were built in 1848 as Yorbridge Grammar School. Ironically, the grand building was the home of the schoolmaster, while the tiny building nearest the river contained the actual classrooms. Ella Pontefract and Mary Hartley wrote about its history when they toured Wensleydale in the 1930s. The school was free except for a cockpenny paid at Shrovetide, sixpence, a shilling, or 2 and 6 pence as the parents could afford. At times, the people were careless of their advantages in having the school. A letter to the Wensleydale Advertiser in 1845 says that it had £200 endowment and no pupil. Perhaps the letter did good, for in 1848 the school was enlarged. It remained a grammar school, but the work was slack. The master was fond of fishing. After 1867, the school gradually became a force in the Dale. Girls were admitted in 1919. In 1931, a new school was built nearer to Askrigg. The old school is now used for woodworking classes. Now cross over the road onto the bridge, which is the next stopping point. Stopping point 5, Yure Bridge. This bridge over the River Yure was designed and built by John Carr of York in 1793. Carr was principal surveyor of bridges for the North Riding from 1772 to 1803. Yure Bridge is constructed of rubble and finely dressed stone. It has three segmental arches and triangular cutwaters on the upstream side only. Inside the upstream parapet is a stone inscribed with a benchmark and NYR for the North Riding of Yorkshire. The route now leaves the road and follows a footpath across fields to the line of a disused railway, which is the next stopping point. Stopping point 6, Wensleydale Railway Line. In Wensleydale, businessmen realised that in order to compete with markets elsewhere, the Dale needed a railway line in the 19th century. The North Eastern Railway proposed building a link from its Northallerton to Leyburn line onto Hawes. At the same time, the Midland Railway Company decided to build a branch line from Garsdale on the Settle-Carlisle line through to Hawes. The two railway companies built a joint station where their lines terminated at Hawes, and the whole length of the line through the Dale was completed by 1878. It was closed in stages during the 1950s and 1960s, but enthusiasts are now working hard to reopen it. They have track laid as far as Redmar, just to the east of the National Park, with regular passenger services running from Leaming Bar. Now, walk on through fields and a farmyard back out onto the road. Cross the road, again taking care of passing traffic, then find the path signposted to Skell Gill and follow this uphill through fields until you get a good view of the next stopping point, Colby Hall. Stopping point 7, Colby Hall. This is one of the finest houses in Wensleydale and has a commanding position above the Askrigg Road to Bainbridge. It is rough cast, rubble built and E-shaped in plan. The central part is two-storey and the three wing extensions are three-storied. It began life as a medieval grange or satellite farm for Gervaux Abbey, looking after that abbey's extensive estates in Upper Wensleydale. The building we see today is not the medieval one, however. A date stone inscribed IC 1655 records its builder, John Colby, who once had an extensive estate around here, carved out from Gervaux's lands after the dissolution of the monasteries by Henry VIII in the 16th century. Now follow the path on uphill until you reach the next stopping point in the hamlet of Skell Gill. Stopping point 8, Skell Gill. After visiting this tiny hamlet in the 1930s, Ella Pontefract and Mary Hartley wrote the following evocative description of it. Skell Gill is said to have been an important place with three inns in the packhorse days. Now it consists of four farmhouses. You come across it with surprise, for lying in a hollow shut in on all sides, it is not visible from the valley. When this was the main road, Skell Gill would have been a sheltered haven for travellers to reach. Now it has a forgotten air, a loneliness which has more sadness in it than the loneliness of the moors. An arched bridge crosses the stream, but little traffic goes over it. The first time we went to Skell Gill, we found a row of dead rats nailed by their tails to the branch of a tree by the stream. Their sleek corpses hanging there in shame had a sinister look. Now walk along the lane east out of Skelgill until you reach the gate into Helm Green. Leave the lane and walk down past the quarry until you see the top of the lime kiln, which is the next stopping point. Stopping point 9, Helm Green Lime Kiln. This kiln was built at some point between 1856 and 1893, telling us that lime burning was well underway here by the middle of the 19th century. Limestone blocks would have been dug out of the adjacent quarry by hand, barrowed across and loaded into the top of the burning chamber along with coal for fuel. Operating and emptying the kiln in those days would have been a dirty and unpleasant task, the only shelter being a stone-slated roof which once existed over the draw arch of the kiln. The burnt lime was most likely used to make lime mortar and plaster for local houses, and also put to agricultural use and spread on the surrounding land to sweeten the acidic soil to improve the pasture. Return to the lane and continue on, eventually turning downhill until you see a path signposted to Mill Gill. Follow the path through fields until you enter the top of Mill Gill. Walk down the gill until you reach the next stopping point, West Mill. Stopping point 10, West Mill, Askrigg. This is an early to mid 19th century water mill with an overshot water wheel formerly fed by an elevated zinc pen trough supported on stone piers which you walk underneath. It was originally a corn mill and a corn drying kiln survives on the ground floor. It then became a sawmill run by William Handley Burton 1853 to 1937 who specialised in making hay rakes. He decided to use the water supply for the mill, Mill Gill Force, to generate electricity as well. By 1909 he was offering to light Askrigg streets, although it took a year for the parish council to agree. A year later he had installed a dam above Mill Gill Force and was piping water to a separate powerhouse containing a Jilks Vortex special turbine. It produced enough power to light the mill and provide street and house lighting in Askrigg, the first village to have it in the Dale. Burton and his sons formed the Askrigg Electric Lighting Company and installed hydroelectric schemes around the Dales. The company continued until the National Grid arrived in Askrigg in 1949. Burton's son Ernest and his nephew William both ended up working for the nationalised industry. Ella Pontefract and Mary Hartley wrote about visiting the hayrake making business. Rakes or parts of them are everywhere. Finished ones stacked in outbuildings ready for packing, piles of long handles waiting to be attached, hundreds of curved pieces wedged between beams to keep them from going straight again. They have been bent after being soaked in water. Narrow outside steps climb into the mill, and here there is the sound of the saw and the smell of newly cut wood, pine for the handles and ash for the rest. A machine invented by the miller's father stamps out the wooden teeth, but the rakes are assembled by hand. Now continue on through a hay meadow on a flagged path until you reach the lane which will take you into Askrigg and the next stopping point, the Market Cross. Stopping point 11, Askrigg Market Cross. The little town of Askrigg, whose name means Ash Ridge, lay just outside the hunting forest of the Lords of Middleham. This meant that it was free of the strict forest laws, and so it grew into a trading place and was granted its all-important market charter in 1587. The charter gave royal consent to the town to hold regular markets by the Market Cross and also to collect fees from the traders. 300 years ago, Askrigg was the main town in Upper Wensleydale, with the largest market in the area. It was also a centre for several textile industries, including flax spinning and hand knitting. Lead mining was important too. In 1795, the building of the new turnpike road via Hawes led to Askrigg losing its market and prosperity to that town. The present market cross dates to 1830 and was made by Leonard Heseltine, an Askrigg mason. Strangely, it was erected at a time when the market was facing terminal decline. Askrigg became famous in more recent times as a location for the filming of the All Creatures Great and Small television series, based on the James Herriot stories of life as a country vet in the Dales. It was also home for many years to historians Mary Hartley, Ella Pontefract and Joan Ingleby. The next stopping point is the nearby church. Stopping point 12, St Oswald's Church. Askrigg's parish church is mainly 15th century late Perpendicular, with a fine 16th century roof and a font dating to medieval times. The east window comes from Munich and was installed in the 1880s when the building was restored. The church is the largest in Wensleydale, a reminder of the days when Askrigg was the most important settlement in the Upper Dale. After you've had time to explore it, continue on. Leave Askrigg by the main road heading east until you see a path signposted to Yorbridge opposite the entrance to the local primary school, which was built in 1931 as the replacement grammar school to Yorbridge House. Follow the path west along the line of the Wensleydale Railway until you reach the next stopping point at the back of a group of buildings. Stopping point 13, site of Fawes Abbey. Fawes was a Savignac foundation whose French monks were granted land in Upper Wensleydale by followers of Count Alan, Earl of Richmond, sometime around 1145. Count Alan confirmed these gifts and added rights in his hunting forest of Bainbridge. The Savignac order was taken over by the Cistercians in 1147. The abbey at Fawes was called Yure Valley after the old name for the river Yure, with its French translation being Gervaux. The little community failed to prosper, finding the weather too harsh to grow their crops and their stock probably set upon by wolves from the nearby forest. By 1156, the small community at Fawes had left, taking the name with them and setting up a new house in a less hostile spot near East Witton, on land given by Conan, Earl of Richmond. Chantry Farm on the site is modern, but an outbuilding which you will pass has a lancet window built into its north wall that may have come from the abbey or a chantry chapel connected with the abbey. Colby House, which you saw earlier, is also rumoured to have been built with stone taken from Fawes. There are no other visible building remains, just two early earth-built terraces to the south of the farm. In the 19th century, workmen excavating the track for the new Wensleydale Railway uncovered the remains of several skeletons near Askrigg, which probably belonged to Fawes. Now walk on past these buildings, over a stream beside the remains of a fine railway bridge, and across fields towards Yore Bridge, and onto the old turnpike road, back into Bainbridge, which is the final stopping point. Stopping point 14, Richmond to Lancaster Turnpike. Turnpike roads like this one were built by private investors who hoped to recoup their expenditure and make a profit by charging tolls on the traffic using them. There had long been a desire among merchants and producers to link the port at Lancaster with the inland markets of the Dales. The Richmond to Lancaster Turnpike Trust was founded and their new road opened in 1751. Its original course took it through the market town of Askrigg, across the river at Bainbridge and up over the hills into Ribblesdale along the course of the old Roman road called Cam High Road. In 1795, a less rugged route was engineered that went via Hawes up Widdale. The result, as we've already heard, was that the market at Askrigg fell into decline, while the new one at Hawes flourished. Now follow the road back into Bainbridge. This is the end of the podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed it. Find out more about the archaeology of the Yorkshire Dales by visiting our website www.outofoblivion.org.uk.